You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, what's up, what's up, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Eagles. Close that door behind you. Make sure to lock it because we're getting locked in on the Philadelphia Eagles right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Friday edition of the show. I'm getting those pregame nerves, guys. I'm getting those pregame nerves. We are only 2 days away from Eagles-Cowboys, a first-place battle in Dallas. I'm feeling better, honestly, that it's in Dallas. I know that's kind of weird, but the Eagles have had a lot of success in Dallas. I mean, really, the away team, I saw that crazy stat, the record. The away team's had the winning record when it comes to Eagles-Cowboys in the last, what was it, like 5 years? I mean, both teams have dominated at the other's building. I mean, and it's true. I just think back to, let's go back to 2014, where, or even, let's go to 2013, when the Eagles won the NFC East. Remember that terrible game at the Link where a red-hot Eagles team just got shut out by the Cowboys? Matt Barkley was in on that one because Nick Foles got hurt. And then the Eagles, of course, go to Dallas Week 17, and they win the division in Dallas to go to the playoffs against the Saints that wild card year. And then just the year later, 2014, the Eagles go into Dallas on Thanksgiving, and they smack them. And then the Eagles play Dallas at the Link on Sunday Night Football, and they really needed that game. And I remember that game specifically because Dez Bryant turned Bradley Fletcher into mincemeat if he wasn't mincemeat already throughout the season. Bradley Fletcher, we all know about the Fletcher story, a.k.a. Burnt Toast. So Dallas kind of ended the Eagles' season there, or really put them out of their... I mean, Washington pretty much ended the season for the Eagles in 2014, but that Cowboys loss was the first devastating one en route to the Eagles missing the playoffs. Then the year later, right, with Sam Bradford, we get smacked week two at home, and then that awesome overtime game that year in Dallas where Jordan Matthews scores the game winner. So I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good about this one. If this has to be Carson Wentz's just I'm here moment. The one last year for him was against the Rams, where, you know, the Eagles went on that tear, but they hadn't really beat anyone crazy, crazy good. I thought the Carolina Thursday night game was an awesome win, but everyone else, they were just really steamrolling. That was a true test in an NFC powerhouse matchup. Wentz obviously gets hurt, but he's the one that threw that touchdown to Alshon Jeffrey to take the lead in the fourth quarter. So that was his kind of NFL I'm here moment, right? And that's got to be it for him again this year, because the season's on the line with this one. And I want to see Carson Wentz in the playoffs. That's something that I really, really want to see this year, even if they're not serious contenders. So coming up on today's show, we're going to get into some matchups to look for. I want to talk about Josh Adams, the RB1 situation with the Eagles. We're going to get into the ground game on both sides of the ball. And then again, I'm going to get a little bit more into how a loss on Sunday, to me, would personally be heartbreaking, even though we've kind of, the season has been a down season regardless of the outcome, unless they win the Super Bowl this year or get to the NFC Championship game, I would say at least. For the most part, anything else would be a down season for what we expected. But regardless, for my feelings, even though I feel like I've expected them to miss the playoffs, if they really truly have their season ended on Sunday, I think it's going to be heartbreaking. So that's coming up today on the Locked On Eagles podcast. If you missed any of our recent shows, you can check them out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, pretty much any podcast platform that you listen, guys, to the show. We are up and available. Read some reviews from my friends across the pond. Love all you guys out there. I got some reviews from Denmark, from London, and Ireland. We love our Locked On Eagles listeners everywhere, and the fact that Birds fans are just all over the globe is so, so cool that you guys are listening, and we always appreciate it, and we're glad that you guys are on this journey with us as we really start our first stint at the Locked On Eagles season one, pretty much, in 2018. So again, shout out to everyone that's been leaving us reviews, and follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and my co-host Gino at Gino_LOE. Gino underscore Eloy, excuse me. Gino actually did a crossover show with Marcus Mosher of Locked On Cowboys. That was some really good stuff. If you really want to get into the X's and O's and the nitty-gritty of Sunday's matchup, check that out. That was recorded yesterday, and that is up on our website and all the podcast platforms as well. For today, what I want to start with in segment one is matchups to look for in Eagles-Cowboys from my perspective. So I kind of sat down, and I remember I was thinking back to last game and thinking, what did the Eagles not do? What guys burned them on Dallas, and what guys on the Eagles should be used more in this game or did not step up as much last game? And the first one I thought of instantly was Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith versus the Eagles, basically. So the matchup itself I wrote down was Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson, Brandon Brooks, Jason Kelsey, and Josh Adams versus Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith. And it's kind of reminds me, I don't know why I thought of this, but it reminds me of the Avengers 3 Infinity Wars scene where one of the battle scenes with Thanos. I don't know if I'm nerding out with you right now. If you're a big Marvel guy, you might be able to relate to me on this, where it's just all, it's Spider-Man, it's Doctor Strange, it's Iron Man, it's Chris Pratt, I forget what his name is, so not a diehard Marvel fan, and I apologize if you got some of you diehard Marvel fans are listening to the show right now, but they're all just going after Thanos, and I feel like that's what the Eagles need to do right now to attack these two linebackers is they need to beat them in multiple ways. They need to get these guys off their game because they wrecked that ball game on Sunday Night Football. They did. It was, you know, Ezekiel Elliott was one of the MVPs, but those linebackers were massive for the Cowboys' success in that football game. Some ways to me to stop them. Carson Wentz, he's going to be a part of it. It's going to be Doug. It's going to be some of those interior offensive linemen that are going to help in the ground game and in the screen game. And then it's Josh Adams. There's just, you got to find a way to stall these two linebackers from disrupting in the backfield and getting to the running back and getting to Carson Wentz. You got to get play action going. That's something they had a lot of success with against Washington. RPOs. Make those linebackers think. Try to get them off their spots and get after them in the screen game. We saw how good Jason Kelsey was at getting to that second level and really third level against Washington. I go back to that. It was a run call for Darren Sproles on the touchdown. But it was another example of Jason Kelsey with one arm dragging a Washington linebacker, and then basically with his other side, his shoulder and his arm, he smacks down a Redskin corner to the ground and just clears all the space for Darren Sproles. And I feel like that's something that he and Brandon Brooks as well, who's been doing a really good job of that all season and pretty much all three seasons that he's been here. He does not get enough credit, and I've been kind of sending some shout-outs to him the past couple weeks because of how important he has been. And those two are going to be key against Vander Esch and Smith. And I'm counting on Doug Peterson to call some of these different style of plays to get those two off their game because those are the two I'm most concerned with. DeMarcus Lawrence, he's a great pass rusher, but I'm confident in our tackles. I'm confident in Jason Peters, who's still playing at the top of his game, and I'm still confident in Lane Johnson. So it's those linebackers against Carson Wentz and against Doug Peterson and Brandon Brooks and Jason Kelsey that I'm worried about the most, and it's, I think, a crucial matchup for the Eagles to win, because if they win that matchup, I feel like they have a great chance of winning this ball game. And I mentioned Josh Adams in there as well. Commit to Josh Adams. He was averaging 6.7 yards per carry against Dallas, but he only had 7 carries. And Dallas even was surprised that they went away from him. They were talking about, the Cowboys were talking him up, saying that Josh Adams was giving them all sorts of trouble. And Josh Adams has been damn good all year long. He's been so efficient. Really reminds me of what Jay Ajayi was in the second half of the season last year, where Ajayi didn't get a crazy, crazy workload. His workload increased as, you know, when he came from Miami in the trade. Week by week, he started getting more and more involved, but they were still using Blunt and Clement. But eventually Ajayi kind of took over, and his efficiency continued. And you've seen it the past couple of weeks. Adams has had 20-plus touches in back-to-back weeks, and his efficiency, has still been there. He was great in closing out that game against Washington. He was key in taking the lead against the Giants 2 weeks ago. So Josh Adams is another key in this game. Stay balanced. Have that balanced attack that you've had the past couple weeks, and I think that's going to be huge for an Eagles win. And again, Dallas, extremely surprised that they went away from him on Sunday Night Football. I'm hoping the Eagles don't do that this time. A couple on the other side. Let's flip the script here. Eagles defense against the Cowboys offense. Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones against Amari Cooper. So we've been kind of talking about in the show this week and on Twitter how We're a little concerned that Jim Schwartz does not rotate his corners from side to side. He doesn't have a guy shadow, say, in Amari Cooper. So Sidney Jones is not going to cover Amari Cooper the entire time. Sometimes we're going to have Rasul Douglas on him. And while I believe in Rasul Douglas, this is not a matchup that he won a couple weeks ago when the Eagles played Dallas at Lincoln Financial Field. Douglas was struggling to cover Amari Cooper. They need to let Rasul Douglas get his hands on Cooper or have him play very off coverage, because when he's shadowing Cooper but he's close to him but not getting a hand on him, Amari Cooper is going to open him up. I went back on the film before the show and I watched Rasul Douglas and I watched Sidney Jones. I thought their coverage skills were extremely, extremely efficient against the Redskins. Sidney Jones, I was so impressed with. He had such a quiet day, but that's a really good thing for corners. He finished his tackles, so did Rasul Douglas. Those two are extremely strong in that area, and that's been a weak point of the Eagles cornerback group so far this year. So that is a key matchup against Amari Cooper and for Douglas and Jones to finish their tackles. One final matchup before we take a quick break here that I'm looking for is the front seven against Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys offensive line. I said it yesterday on the show with Lars Lewis, and you can check out that bonus podcast where we kind of got into this game again. That is a situation, that is a matchup that destroyed the Eagles last time these two teams played. Zeke had over 150 yards from scrimmage. He was all over the place. They have to take him out of this game. Make Dak Prescott beat you with his arm. That's the key here. Make him beat you. And if that matchup I talked about before, Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones against Amari Cooper, if they're having success against Amari, that's huge. That is big, because then this front seven basically can go after Dak. They got to take out Zeke. Make Dak Prescott be the one that beats you. All right, let's take a quick break here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. When we come back, Josh Adams is reminding me of the need for an RB1. All year round for the Philadelphia Eagles, a feature back. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Guys, we all know watching football is pretty damn fun, but it's more entertaining when you have some action on the games. You've heard me talking about this for weeks, and some of you are still on the sidelines. Whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, you can create a big parlay. Pick three teams to win, and if you hit on all three, you could turn $100 into $600. There's so much to bet on. You got college basketball and football, the NBA, NHL, custom props, even esports. You name it, MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year round. I recommend these guys because I really trust them. MyBookie has been in business for years. They've got great online reviews, and their mobile site is extremely easy to use. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Also, make sure to follow at BetMyBookie on Twitter. Again, that's at BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention and DM, not to mention that they've given away anywhere towards $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. Don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON25 and get 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, and you get paid. We thank MyBookie for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back to this Friday edition of the show, December 7th. I cannot believe we're already into December of this Eagles season. It stinks, man. We didn't have a very long offseason, which I'm not complaining about, considering the Eagles won a championship, and we got to see the ring ceremony, and it was one hell of an offseason for the Birds. But, man, this season has flown by. It really has, and man, I'm hoping they make the playoffs and keep this thing going, because I miss watching the Eagles play in the off. Look, I love the offseason. I love draft season. I think you guys are going to love our draft coverages here as Locked On, as partners with the Draft Network. So we got some awesome assets to help us out with our draft coverage this offseason. But just it's not the same not having the Eagles on the field. And that's why each game I've been trying to enjoy them and really have been all in on a playoff run, while other people have kind of more so moved on to the offseason already. Something that could come up in the offseason that's kind of coming up right now with Josh Adams emerging is the running back position, what they're going to do long-term at this position. And maybe they don't really plan on doing anything long-term. Maybe it's a year-by-year position for them that they just will kind of figure out as they go. It's kind of been what they've been doing since they traded away LeSean McCoy, right? I mean, they brought in Ryan Matthews and signed DeMarco Murray, and then they got rid of that real quick, and they started Ryan Matthews, and then, you know, they brought in LeGarrette Blount after they failed to draft Christian McCaffrey. They couldn't move up in time for Dalvin Cook. They pretty much swung out on every single great running back in that 2017 class and ended up settling for a Donnell Pumphrey, which was probably Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas's. No, it was. It was their worst pick, hands down, so far in their tenure in the Eagles front office, Howie Roseman's second stint. But Josh Adams is in, and now it's Josh Adams, right? With the, they traded for Jay Ajayi, and then Ajayi gets hurt this season, and they find Josh Adams as an undrafted free agent out of Notre Dame. They gave him a lot of guaranteed money, the highest of any undrafted free agent to come here, so they clearly believed in his talent. But I don't think people expected him to be as good and as efficient as he has been all season. Remember, he was doing this, and I've mentioned it a few times on the show, he's been doing this since the offseason, or the preseason. I thought he was, I mean, Wendell Smallwood was the winner of the preseason when it came to that running back battle, but Josh Adams was just as efficient, and he was actually really good, too, on special teams. He was making some tackles. I can't believe, truthfully, when you look back at it now, that the Eagles cut this guy, that they chose Wendell Smallwood over Josh Adams. The talent now, seeing them on the field, because remember, Smallwood was the bell cow. After the bye week, they finally committed to Josh Adams. It was really that Jacksonville game where he started busting off some big runs where the Eagles finally said, all right, enough is enough. We're still going to be a committee approach here in the backfield, but Adams is going to be RB1. Because before that, it was Smallwood getting the bulk of the carries, and man, there was so much meat left on the bones. So much meat left on the bones. And the fact that the Eagles cut this guy, I mean, the Eagles are lucky to have Josh Adams right now, truthfully. And I'm not sure if he's going to be an RB1, but he has that potential. You know, and if not, he could be part of a three-man committee like 2017 with Ajayi and Blount and Clement. Maybe now the new thing is going to be Josh Adams, Corey Clement, and somebody else. The Eagles could go a few different routes this offseason with the running back position. And it's going to depend on these four games. Really, Josh Adams has an opportunity to not only, he's won this job this year, but to really make the Eagles not make a lot of moves, if any, at the position next year and into the future, because Josh Adams is only a rookie. They could commit to him. He could be the future bell cow if there is ever going to be one in Philadelphia. But I think, regardless, the offseason is going to be interesting to see what the Eagles do here. Either commit to a committee that features maybe mostly Adams, and let's say like a free agent like Tevin Coleman. Maybe the Eagles bring in a Tevin Coleman to add on to Josh Adams and Clement. And then Corey Clement's kind of your James White. You know, you kind of have, it's kind of like a Patriots thing. I'm going to compare a lot of these talking points to the Patriots running back situation, where they brought in Sony Michel, a rookie, kind of like Josh Adams. Then they have a Rex Burkhead, and then James White's their third down back, like Corey Clement could be for this team. You bring in a Tevin Coleman, who's similar to, he's kind of a combo of Adams. He's got some power, but he's a really good receiving running back, much like Corey Clement is. So maybe you do that, and just, you never spend big money at running back that way, and that's just kind of the approach you go with in the Doug Peterson era. And that's fine. I'll take a trio of Josh Adams, Tevin Coleman, and Corey Clement. I think that'll get the job done. A similar trio last year won a Super Bowl with the Eagles in Blount, Ajayi, and Clement. So maybe they do that and they just never commit to big money, but I'm kind of on the side of drafting a guy with the potential to be a future RB1, because you can commit for the time being having him as a part of a committee with Adams and Clement, but he could be like a Sony Michel, where eventually you hope he becomes your RB1 that doesn't have to come off the field on third down, that's great in pass protection, and that's someone that can potentially be a star player for your offense. And I know running back value has gone down, and I don't really understand why. I feel like the narrative on running backs is totally unjust, and I think Le'Veon Bell is going to get paid next year, and hopefully he can reset the market, but running backs can be your second-best receiver. They can be your sixth-best pass blocker. You know, they can be very valuable assets to an offense, and when you have a star, that is huge for a quarterback, and that's huge for an offense. So we'll see what the Eagles do, but I mean, when you draft a guy, first off, it doesn't have to be in the first round this year. It could be in the second round. It could be in the fourth round, where a guy is part of your committee, or eventually he just takes over, and that's a good thing. But if Josh Adams keeps producing, they might not do anything that I've been talking about. Adams has the potential to be that guy, whereas right now he's been a part of a committee. but his play on the field has earned his right to be the starter. And if that's the case, maybe you have just Josh Adams and Corey Clement as your 2016 Patriots look, with LeGarrette Blount, who is not a part of the passing game, much like Josh Adams isn't, and James White as your third down back, which Corey Clement is. Maybe they're okay with not having a guy that can do everything. It'll be really interesting to see what they do, but Adams has four more games to really, really prove. I mean, regardless, next year he's going to be part of this backfield. The Eagles are paying him virtually nothing compared to what, I mean, Todd Gurley makes and what Le'Veon's going to get. The Eagles are getting very cheap labor at running back right now, and I'm just glad they're not throwing a guy out there like Smallwood. I mean, this is the thing, though. With Adams, you're seeing what a talent, and that's why I hope Adams becomes the RB1, or I hope they find one that, you know, I'm okay with having Clement sprinkled in and Josh Adams if you find another guy, or if Josh Adams becomes that guy, I'm okay with other guys rotating through, but having a star, having real talent at running back does a lot. It's not just about the offensive line. I know the people that are part of the don't pay running back stands like to pretty much put all the credit on the offensive line, but we've seen the Eagles running with the offensive line, the run game for them, they've been good all year in that area. And yet the Eagles running game was not pretty much non-existent. It was not dangerous at all when you had someone like Wendell Smallwood in the backfield, or with Corey Clement, who's been struggling for the most part throughout the year running the ball. He's been very good against the Giants and the Redskins when he's had his opportunities, but he's been a disappointment this year overall as well. You see a guy like Adams, the talent he has, the ability to be patient, wait for holes to hit, the cutting ability. You see what a person with star potential at running back can do when they have an offensive line like the Eagles do. I'm not saying that offensive lines aren't big for the run game. They are key. Probably, I don't know if they're it's 1A, 1B with the running game, but it's not just about the offensive line, clearly, because the Eagles' run game with Wendell Smallwood was not getting the job done. And another reason I want Adams or somebody to become just the feature back here with the Eagles, or just become a star, is the fan favorite factor for kids. So this is interesting. I was kind of thinking about this before the show. For me, growing up, I don't know about you, but I loved the skill positions. So now, of course, I can appreciate the committee approach, and I can love watching the efficiency of a Jay Ajayi, and I can understand the underrated play and the importance of having Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar. But that's not going to sell it for kids. And this is the thing, is me growing up, my favorite players were Michael Vick. Obviously, the quarterbacks, I mean, the Eagles have Carson Wentz. All young Eagles fans right now growing up are going to love Carson Wentz. But I also got, I mean, I'm sitting next to my desk right now is a DeSean Jackson poster. And I have a jersey of LeSean McCoy. And I really liked Jeremy Maclin. And Brian Westbrook was someone that, growing up, he helped me first get into the Eagles. The electricity on offense, the star power, the speed, this crazy ability to break off big plays on a consistent basis. That brings in kids, I think. Young fans. I think that gravitates toward, at least I gravitated towards that growing up, and right now the Eagles don't have a lot of players that, and look, like Fletcher Cox is, should be a fan favorite across the board, but for young kids, is he? I mean, is Brandon Graham? I don't know. I think, I mean, for me, I love Rasul Douglas. I don't think a lot of kids are going to see the value in corners right now. And that's something, too, that the running back position has been missing, and receiver. And look, I think Alshon Jeffrey is awesome. I think he's a wide receiver one. He's a low-end wide receiver one, but nonetheless, he's a wide receiver one. But the Eagles need some star power. They do. And maybe Josh Adams is that guy. Maybe it's someone else. But that's a thing, too, is they need, and it, Wentz is one of those guys, and Ertz, but that's a big part of this too, honestly, is I'm just looking at it. I'm not saying the Eagles need to make moves based on this thought, but it's, I don't know, it's just something I thought of, is that me growing up, I had DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy and Brian Westbrook and Michael Vick, and of course the Eagles have Carson Wentz now. I almost said Nick Foles because, you know, he won a Super Bowl, but they don't, I'm just thinking about it, they don't have a lot of crazy star power on offense that younger fans are going to become Eagles fans because of. I don't know, I just thought it was an interesting point, but we'll see what they do at running back. But Josh Adams has every opportunity here to say to the Eagles, look, you don't need to add a running back in the draft to eventually become your RB1. Or heck, you don't even need to add a Tevin Coleman into this committee. I can run this show with Corey Clement, and let's go. But I'm very interested to see what they do. I hope they add at least something to at least the committee, or to try to get a young player that's part of that committee approach that can potentially become a star. But it depends on all what Josh Adams is doing. If for the next four games he continues to do what he's been doing, I'm okay with the Eagles not doing anything, because I feel like they have a legit dangerous 1-2 punch in the backfield that defenses have to take into account for with Josh Adams and Corey Clement. And that's a huge advantage for Carson Wentz in the RPOs, where they might have to take into account they might hand this football off to Josh Adams or another running back that they add, you know, and it helps out in play action. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do. Adams is going to be a huge part of this potential playoff run down the stretch, but he could also be a big part in what the Eagles decide to do at running back this offseason. Let's take one more break. Final segment, how a loss on Sunday to me will be absolutely heartbreaking. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to our final segment on this December 7th edition of the show. Again, 2 days away, we're potentially 2 days away from the Eagles being back on top in the NFC East. Back on top in the NFC East. That's if I could go back in time and tell week, what week is this right now? We're 6-6. This is week 13, right? If I could go back and tell week 10 Lou this, I think he would think I'm crazy. I did not really, and I've been one of the more optimistic Eagles fans, but after that 4-6 start, when they were at 4-6 and they fell to the Cowboys, or to the Saints, you know, I knew the path was still there for the Eagles, but I was not feeling good about this team. And suddenly, they've ripped off two straight, and I know it was against Washington, and I know it was against New York, but this team has a legit chance in their sights, not only for a NFC East, just a wild card berth. They don't even have to win the division. They can get in with a wild card berth. They need Carolina to go, I think, 2-2 down the stretch. They need three more losses from Minnesota. But there is a legit path, and when you look at those two teams' schedules, the Eagles have a couple paths of realistically getting into the playoffs. But it all starts with this win on Sunday. They cannot lose this game to Dallas, because not only does it help, I mean, they need it for the NFC East, especially. You're not winning the division if you don't win this game, unless the Cowboys just absolutely collapsed and then the Eagles won out. That's the only way you win the East after a loss on Sunday. But it'll help your in-conference record against those other teams. If there's a three-way tiebreaker for a wild card spot, you've got to get this win. And I want them desperately to get this win. I want this team in the playoffs. I think it's going to be so helpful for Carson Wentz to get playoff experience. And just for his confidence, we know how hard he's worked this year at trying to get that team back to the promised land, because he was not able to participate in it last year, tearing his ACL, and the Eagles go on to win a Super Bowl. You know, that, and I feel for him, and I really want him in that spot. And I still believe in this team that, you know, I know the downfalls of this team so far this year, and that they are not the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles. And it's not, they should not be the favorite against the Rams or against the Saints or maybe against anybody in the playoffs this year if they make it. But I still see a lot, like I've been saying for the past couple weeks, I'm still seeing those same players out there that were holding the Lombardi Trophy last year, and I still believe in that. And I just want them to get in and see what happens. Just a couple years ago, the Packers were 4-6, and they made the NFC Championship game. When you have someone like Carson Wentz, when you have the talent you still have, they're getting healthier, especially on defense. Hopefully Jordan Hicks is back next week. You know, with all that being said, I just, a loss would be devastating. I'm not ready for this season to end quite yet. I'm not. I'm still celebrating the championship last year, and I don't want to go through an offseason of talking about why the Eagles missed the playoffs. It's not something I'm looking forward to, and I hope that, and it's Dallas, too. I mean, the trash talk this week with Camus, I like what Camus did. I don't really like that Doug Peterson made him kind of backtrack. I like that confidence and that swagger. And then Dak Prescott coming back and saying how they're only thinking about, like, you know, losers think about the winners, and winners think about winning. I mean, I don't even know if that's the right quote, because I just don't care enough to look for Dak Prescott, but it's pretty funny considering the Cowboys have how many playoff wins since I've been alive? Like two? right? And the one shouldn't have even counted against Detroit. So, you know, this is a big – if Dallas is the one that ends the Eagles season, I mean, come on. It can't get much worse than that. So let's get a big win on Sunday, Eagles fans, and I'll see you after the game for the postgame show, hopefully talking about the Birds being in first place. But as for right now, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Appreciate all the reviews left. Please leave more if you can. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for listening. And let's go, Birds, baby. Let's get this win on Sunday.